Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's live broadcast of Conscious Cool Chic Radio. I'm delighted. Excuse me very much. I'm delighted you're here. I just got a frog in my throat because I'm so excited. Today's show is going to be wonderful. We have the one and only Lois Wetzel here to share a lot of her wisdom with us. She has a new book out. It's the paperback version of Adina, Energy Medicine from the Stars. She's going to be sharing with us the story of how that came about, how she received these downloads about using energy in a new way. She's going to talk a bit about her work with the Akashic Records, the fact that she still does past life readings. If you're looking for some information right now, that would be very beneficial to where you're at. And we're going to talk about some of her other books. So she's a very busy lady, and I'm delighted that she has time for us today. So we're going to have a good show. As always, I'd like to give you a few announcements and updates about what is ahead, just to let you know of what's coming up next here on the show. On next Wednesday, we're going to have a special show that's all about the astrology of right now, specifically July, and a very rare configuration called a grand trine that also connects to another rare energy later on in the month, a grand sextile. So July has some big astrological developments, and I'm going to go into depth about those and share them with you and give you some information that will be very, very beneficial to helping you move through what's going on right now. And then the following week, I'm going to talk about the different types of consciousness. And I specifically am calling them types and not levels because there are different levels of consciousness, but I wanted to get away from anything that was hierarchical and just give you different descriptions about them as energies. So that's going to be July 24th. We're going to talk about different types of consciousness, and it'll be a good checking in point to see where you're at and what energies you're incorporating into your life most regularly. Many of us work with different levels of consciousness in different areas of our lives, so I think you're going to get a lot from that show. So tune into that. As always, you can listen to this show here on Blog Talk Radio. But you can also download and listen to every show on iTunes. So check that out because you can download a show onto your iPad, your iPod, and then you can go about your day, go for a walk, clean the house, whatever you need to do. So know that the iTunes store has these episodes, and it's very, very convenient. So now I'm excited to introduce you to Lois Wetzel. She is an author. She is a Reiki master and teacher since 1988. She is a professional certified Sarama level body talk practitioner, which she has been doing since early 2002. She's an advanced facilitator of Site K, and she's an author. She is the author of the Akashic Records, Case Studies of Past Lives. She is the author of Sacred Journeys and Vision Quests, and she is the author of a new book called Adina, Energy Medicine from the Stars, and she is here today to share more with us. Hi, Lois. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And as some people probably know, and in case you don't know, Lois also has a radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. It's live from Houston every Friday, so be sure and check that out on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes and see all the fabulous guests and topics that she talks about. I love your show, Lois, so I want to make sure
people
know that they can also find you there.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
So you have a lot going on, and you have expertise in so many different areas. Do you mind just giving us a quick introduction about how you got started on a spiritual path and how it came about for you?
I'd love to do that, you know, because it was such a weird way to get started. I was raised in a very fundamentalist church, and I completely rejected religion because it was so... When I was young, I mean, I was maybe 14 when I quit going to church because it had been such a scary thing. Hellfire and brimstone screaming up at the front, you know, the minister acting crazy. And I decided I was an agnostic. And when I became, when I had my first child, I started reading books about science because I'd always been fascinated with it. And when Dancing Wu Li Masters came out by Gary Zukav, and I think that was about 1979, my children were babies. And I started reading that because I thought, you know, if I could just understand the nature of reality at its deepest level, I'd be satisfied. There was something that, just a longing that I had to understand what reality was. And so I read this book very slowly because I'm a fast reader, but I had to absorb each chapter for about a month before I could go on to the next one, before it began to make sense. And then I'd have to reread it before I could go on to the next chapter. And then I'd go, oh, yeah, why did I have trouble with that? That makes perfect sense. I was assimilating it. And what that book did was cause a paradigm shift for me because it was about quantum physics and mechanics. And somewhere along the way in reading that book, I went, oh, well, if that's true, then reincarnation is true, past lives are true. And it was like this doorway opened, and I was way into spirituality. And I realized, I read something recently that said that the way that mystics get into spirituality is intellectually. They don't do it through religion. So I'm going, aha, this explains why I wasn't that attracted to religion. And the way I feel about it now is that I believe all the religions are correct because they're just cultural attempts to explain that reality that I was looking for through science. So from there, I began reading more and more books about that kind of thing and learning more about reincarnation and spiritual things. But I was just reading. And then the day that my youngest son started kindergarten, I was wandering around. I was living in Galveston at the time, and I went downtown where the old buildings were, and I walked into a shop. It was kind of a weird little shop. It had strange things in it, but there was a sign on the front door that said tarot readings on Tuesdays. And it was a Tuesday, so I thought, oh, I've never had one of those. Maybe I'll go get one. And the woman did a card reading for me, and she at some point said, well, it's time for you to start doing your spiritual work. You've been reading books, but now it's time to get serious about it. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she said, well, I don't know for sure, but I do know it doesn't mean go to church next Sunday. So I went, oh. She said, watch for a sign. So the following Sunday, there was a sign. There was a four-page, full-page spread in the big Houston newspaper, which was the Houston Post at the time. And it was all about metaphysical schools. I went, aha, there's my sign. So I found one that looked good to me, and I signed up and started attending classes. And one thing led to another, and I learned how to read tarot cards myself and interpret dreams and on. And that was how I got on this path.
Wow, that's fascinating. And it's perfect how it lines up to meet you where you're at and how each thing transpired, and you just knew this is the next path. Or this is the next step to take on the path. This is where I go next. And I love that you taught yourself to row. That's beautiful.
Well, I went to the the metaphysical school, and they had classes in tarot and dream interpretation. So I actually took one class from somebody, and then I started practicing on my friends. And then after about 7 years, my CPA called me and said, you know that tarot reading you did for me yesterday? And I said, yeah. And she said, I spent $50 for the same reading from so-and-so, and this was in Austin by then. I was in Austin, and she's supposed to be the best reader in town. She said, I spent $50, and she told me the same thing. And I said, well, are you telling me I need to start charging for my readings? And she went, I guess that is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great confirmation that you're doing the right thing, and it's valid, and everything is unfolding. You also were trained as a shaman back in 1990, it was. So how did that enrich your studies as well?
Well, when I read a book called, what was the name of it? I guess Soul Retrieval was the name of the book. It's written by Sandra Ingerman. I think it was her very first book. And I said, that is what I need to do. I need to be doing that. I need to be healing souls, and this is one of the ways that you can heal a soul is a soul retrieval. So I went to, I traveled. I had just gotten divorced at that point and was living in Austin, and I traveled to Albuquerque where she was teaching basic shamanism, and I took that from her. And then a few months later, I went back and studied how to do soul retrievals, and a few months after that, disease extraction and the shamanic method of disease extraction. So I did soul retrievals for people for a really long time, and I still do those occasionally, but not as much as I do the past life readings. But, yeah, that was very rewarding, and it kind of blew my mind that when, you know, I would do it exactly the way, I believe that when you're taught a technique, you're supposed to do it exactly the way you're taught. Because the technique came along after, particularly shamanism, thousands and thousands of years of trial and error. And I hear particularly these days, I hear from people, well, I don't like things that have rules, and I'm not following the rules. And the problem with not following the rules is the people that made those rules made them for a reason. And in the case of shamanism, it's to keep you safe, you and your clients safe. So you cast a circle of protection, for one thing. And so what I found out was when I would do a soul retrieval, following the pattern that I'd been taught, I would see things that happen to people. What happens is that if you have a trauma, like a car wreck or it doesn't take much to give a little kid a trauma. You could be left in the bed crying too long when you're an infant, and that can cause soul loss. Some part of your spirit splits away, according to shamanism, and goes into another dimension or density or frequency, whatever you want to call it. And it stays there until a shaman retrieves it and puts it back in the person. Sometimes that soul part will have a requirement, like if you got raped in a parking lot, you don't go out in a parking lot at night by yourself. You have somebody walk you to your car. That can be one of the conditions for it staying. But so what I would do is I would go into an altered state. I would be with the client, and then I would bring back a certain number of soul parts, however many wanted to come back at a certain age, and I would see exactly what had happened to the person. And then I would blow those in the way that I was blow them in through a couple of different chakras in the way that I was taught how to do it. And then I would tell the person what I'd seen. And most of the time, the person would know exactly the event I was talking about, even though they'd never told me it had happened. And
Wow. Sometimes
they wouldn't know at the time. I would even be able sometimes to tell them what color clothing they were wearing. What the weather was like outside, who was with them. It's bizarre. It kind of shocked me. And at first I was a little nervous about telling them what I'd seen because I thought, gosh, what if they don't remember or what if I'm just seeing something that didn't really happen? But almost invariably, they either knew it at the moment and they'd just go, oh, I remember that, or it would be, you know, 6 weeks later, one woman called me and said, I know what it was. And I said, what do you mean you know what it was? She said, I know what happened. And she told me about an incident that she said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And it happened when she was 14. 6 weeks later, she just went, boom, and remembered it. She'd completely forgotten. She had a car wreck. She hit a,
wow.
She just learned to drive. And she hit a telephone pole. And her mother almost went through the windshield, and there was blood everywhere. But she didn't remember it until 6 weeks after the soul retrieval. But she did finally remember it. But, yeah, that's. So what happens is when you get your soul parts back, you're stronger. Part of you, when a soul fragment splits off, there's a part of you that, that takes away your innocence, and it, that soul part can take away with it your ability to trust people, all kinds of things, like your self-confidence that you can take care of yourself, your belief that, you know, people are going to be there for you, all kinds of things. And, you know, combat is an excellent example of where you can get soul loss.
Oh, sure. That makes a lot of sense on many levels, not just the physical, but the energetics of combat.
Yeah.
And so do you still offer this shamanic work to people who are interested in this?
Yes. And there is a way to do it remotely. I do most of my work remotely now, so that if somebody lived in, say, I live in Houston, if somebody lived in Maine, for example, and they wanted it, you can blow the soul parts into a crystal and mail it to the person. And as long as they're the first person to touch that crystal when it gets unwrapped, the soul part goes into them. But you got to make sure you're the first person. Who opens it, There's a specific method for blowing it into the crystal.
Okay.
And also
because
power
I know
animal.
You still... I'm sorry?
And also power animal retrievals can be done that way. And if you lose a power animal, one of the signs is chronic illness, chronic misfortune, that sort of thing. Or a spirit totem is another name for a power animal.
And you can retrieve that animal back energetically through the work that you do. That's the service you offer.
Yeah. You can go get one. There's a specific technique for identifying which one. They show themselves to you in a specific way. And then you take one and you would blow it into the person if they were there. But if not, you can blow it into a crystal and mail it to them. And make, as long as nobody else opens it up and touches it first, it will go into the right person. And it may
I love hearing about this. Fascinating.
Yeah, you may have lost your power animal, and you need a new one. Maybe you don't need the old one.
Because maybe the
maybe
old one was only supposed to take you so far on your journey, and now you're ready for that next power animal, that next totem to be present with you.
Yes, because I had one that I got when I took that class, which was in 1990 or 91, when I finally took power animal. No, that was the first one I took, the basic shamanism, you get your power animal. That was one specific animal. 10 years later, I was teaching the class, and there was an uneven number of people, so there was a person there I knew really well, so I said, okay, you partner with me, and you can see what power animal shows up, because you know, if I was supposed to have the same power animal, of course, the same one would have shown up. And had I not been supposed to have that, well, then a different one did. Well, a different one showed up, and it was much more appropriate for that phase of my life. The first one I had been for adapting, which is what that 10 years had been about. The next one was about handling abundance, which is what the next about 15 years had been about. I'll tell you a funny story about, I was taught never tell anyone what your power animal is. It weakens the power of the animal for you. Because, you know, sacred and secret have the same word in Latin. So anyway, had she retrieved the same animal, I would have said, okay, well, then I didn't need a different one. But one time a lady came in, she was maybe, I don't know, 23, 24. She had a father who was from South Africa. She was an American girl. And he had died when she was relatively young, and her parents were divorced by then, so she never got to know him. So she decided when she reached adulthood, she would go to South Africa kind of on a quest to get to know him by going places he had been. And she was very interested in shamanism, and she came to me and said, I would like you to retrieve a power animal for me. So I said, okay, I'll do that. And so I did the thing you do to get ready and everything, and I retrieved the power animal, blew it in, and I sat her up, and I said, okay, this is, your power animal is a baby elephant. And I've never seen a baby animal any other time. I said, a baby elephant. And she looked at me and she said, but that's what Credo Mutwa retrieved for me. Now, Credo Mutwa is the most famous shaman on the planet. He's a Zulu shaman in South Africa. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but everybody who's into shamanism knows who Credo Mutwa is. He retrieved, only 6 months before then, and she hadn't told me this, that she'd even met him. It's really hard to get in to see him. That he retrieved the exact same animal down to the fact that it was a baby. I mean, that blew my gaskets. She thought, she was thinking, well, no fair. It's the same thing. And I'm going, don't you get it? It's conversation.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Thought, wow.
That's a great story.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. And I also want to let people know, Lois, people who are just joining us on the phones and online, that we're talking about everything that you do and offer, and you are still doing past life readings. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's a big piece of my life mission in this lifetime is to, again, like with the shamanism, to heal souls. You know, we come back over and over again in different bodies, sometimes men, sometimes women, all different races, all different time periods. And sometimes these lifetimes even overlap because at the viewpoint of the soul, there is no time. Where the soul exists is outside time and space. Time is just an illusion we have when we're on a spinning planet. But anyway, so all those lifetimes are connected to each other. And if you heal something in one of them, you heal it in all the others. So if you remember the incident, it's like those people listening who've had therapy will know what I'm talking about when I say if you remember something you've repressed, it begins to heal things that you didn't even know were connected to it.
Absolutely.
Bizarre things will heal. And so the same is true in past life memories. So I go into the Akashic Records and do a reading for the person, and anywhere from 4 to 6 lifetimes will show up for them to know about. And so these things that they've forgotten, these, and I'm calling them repressed because the soul represses them. And the reason for that, the reason we don't remember all our past lives is that most people had run around the whole time they were alive trying to get even with people. If they can remember everything, you know.
Good point.
I know. It's true. It's true. We wouldn't be getting our lessons. We'd just be playing gotcha. So,
yeah.
But when you're ready to remember these things, then you find somebody who can either regress you and do the hypnosis thing or somebody who does a reading. And I have found, I've had it done both ways, and I have found that it's a lot less traumatic when there is a traumatic past life if somebody else sees it for you and narrates it. You still know about it, and you still have the healing and the integration experience. That's my intention, is to heal that immortal part of us. That, not to say that we're wounded when we're not in a physical body, but that's when we feel these wounds, is when we come back into a physical body. When you're like in between lives and doing your life review and you're planning and you're going to school in between lives, you don't feel the, I'm going to put it in quotes, damage, for lack of a better word. It's only when you're incarnated in a body that you feel this. And that's when you can heal it. For some reason, that's when you can heal it. That's when it's the most powerful. So, yeah, that's what I do for people. I do past life readings. And that's, all that stuff is on my website, HotPinkLotus.com. I feel like that's what I came to Earth to do, is help people heal their souls, and which, of course, speeds up your spiritual evolution.
Absolutely, yes, because right now, well, there's so much energy for our support, and there's so many resources and experts such as yourself, and there's just more awareness. People are just ready on some level to get all the information they can almost and heal it and end it and then choose consciously what they want to create next. I've seen that as a big theme right now through various areas of life.
Yeah. And, you know, the wonderful thing about all this energy that's come from the sun and all the things that were made possible by the portal that opened December 21st and the energy that was pulsed out from the sun to heal the planet and everybody on it, including all the animals and plants and rocks and everything. The wonderful thing about that is that more and more people are waking up and becoming aware of their own desire or need to evolve spiritually. And at the same time, it's confusing because there's all this darkness coming up too. It's like bubbles coming up off the bottom, you know, to finally lift up and leave. And that's confusing some people, that we see a lot of darkness, but that's because it's percolating off right now.
Right.
And it's coming out. But, yeah, I think there are a whole lot of people waking up right now. And it's very exciting for me, because when I first started doing this work, it was like, you know, maybe 1 out of 1,000 people would even listen to me. They're like, you crazy
exactly.
lady.
Yeah. Yeah, now you're not the crazy one. You're the leader, the pioneer, and all of your work and all the years you've spent into these practices is paying off because people are ready. And that's why I'm so excited to share with more people not only the services and healing you offer, but also all the books you've written and the information within each book. And for those of you listening, you can find Lois's 3 books on Amazon. There's the Akashic Records, Case Studies of Past Lives. There is Sacred Journeys and Vision Quests. And then there is the latest book, which is Edina, Energy Medicine from the Stars, and Shamanism for the 21st Century is included in there. And I would just love to know more about this book, Lois, because it has a lot of rich content. Can you start by letting us know what is energy medicine? Just for anybody who has no idea what that is, how do you describe that?
Well, you know, Reiki is energy medicine. So most people know what Reiki is, but they've never heard the term energy medicine attached to it. It's a
right.
vibrational thing that comes through the person who's performing the Reiki. It doesn't come from them. It comes through them. And it's a vibrational frequency that, and I don't know that most Reiki masters know this, but I've been doing it so long that I'm about 5 Reiki masters from Usui, and which means there have not, it's that game of gossip where there are a whole lot of people in the line of Reiki masters, the story gets changed a little bit all the time, but this
yeah.
is what I was taught, at any rate, that the energy comes from the master, well, originally from Source, from Prime Creator, through the Reiki masters in spirit, and then down through the crown chakra of the practitioner, all the way to the heart, where it splits and goes down channels through your arms and out the palms of your hands. And that's energy that comes in. And when you put your hands on somebody to do either Reiki or Edina, what you feel is some people feel heat. Most people feel heat much greater than the heat that would normally come from a hand. Or they feel a vibration. Or they feel like something warm is flowing into their bodies. Now, occasionally, if there's a spiritual healing going on, it's going to feel like something cold is flowing into your body. That's because it's a different frequency. But Edina was brought here by the same beings that brought Reiki in the first place, but they brought it so long ago that no one remembers that. They turned it over to the Reiki masters in spirit after there were a significant number of them that had passed on into spirit, and then they moved on. But these are beings from Sirius B, who, and of course there are other forms of energy medicine, Matrix Energetics is a form of energy medicine, and it's where you heal with spiritual energy, essentially. So it's
very high vibe.
Yeah, it is a very high vibration form of healing. Edina works on the light body of the human first, and then it transfers. After it's worked on the light body, then it filters down into the physical body. But you can actually feel it when it's coming in, because the light body also seems to be attached to your emotional body. So you can feel the light as we're drawing it into your body, different colors and different locations. And the way this got started is that one day I was working on a client, and I often worked with my eyes closed. I was doing a combination of Reiki and massage and using gemstones on people and that sort of thing. And I suspect a lot of your listeners have had sessions like that. And they may not refer to it as energy medicine, but that is one name for it. So all of a sudden one day, I had always seen these yellow beings in the room about the same size and shape as humans, and I just assumed that those were the Reiki masters in spirit. Because every time you put your hands on somebody to work on them, the Reiki energy flows. So one day these other beings show up, and they are about 15 feet tall, 12 to 15 feet. And they looked, I knew they were alive, they were living beings, but they looked like skinny, tall beams of light that were sort of blue-gray and then faded to white at the top. And I later found out that blue-gray is what ultraviolet light looks like if it's not hitting something, if it's just a beam that's moving through the air. And that's what they're made of. It's a frequency very similar to ultraviolet light. And they were in the room, and I wondered, what is that? Because they were very different than anything I'd ever seen. But I just kept on working, because on one level it was kind of like, oh, you silly girl, that's just your imagination. But they started talking to me, and they said, we are the blah, blah, blah. And I went, what? And they repeated it several times. I thought, okay, I can remember that. But I never did, because when I was working on people, I was in some sort of like trance state. And so, you know, you think you're going to remember something you dreamed when you first wake up, but then you don't.
Right,
it was like
yeah.
That. So finally, one day, I put a piece of paper and a pencil on the table where all my stones and massage oils and everything were. And when they came back, I said, what was your name again? And they told me, and I wrote it down. And then they started, and then they told me I could go look that. It's made up from three words from the Kabbalah, and I could go look that up, and I'd notice which three letters it was. And so I did, and the three letters meant, each of them can mean a lot of things, but basically they meant eye, palm of hand, and either diagnostics or final resolution. In other words, diagnose and heal. Light's coming out of your palm in a shape about the size of your eye. Well, shamans teach that there are eyeballs in the palms of your hand. And I'd noticed if I closed my eyes and put my hands on people, I could see inside their bodies as though there were eyeballs in the palms of my hands. So I worked with them for a while, and they went away for a while, and then they came back and started dictating in 2007. They started dictating a form of energy medicine, and I started writing it down, and then they told me when to start teaching it, and there you go, that's Edina. And they tell me it's a form of shamanism for the 21st century and beyond.
I love that, because there's something there where it is taking the ancient healing practices, or what we've called as ancient, and making them modern and fitting for the energies of right now. And so this practice of Edina, this energy medicine, is essentially bringing in that new wave of shamanism for now and going forward, it sounds like. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, and they're also telling me that what they've given me are many times bits and pieces of something we did a long time ago in Atlantis before things started going south. And that bits and pieces of it were preserved in different cultures. And so some of these bits and pieces of Edina come from different places on the earth And then there are several things that they've given me that no one is either being completely lost or no one's ever done it before. And it's clear by what they tell me I can do at different stages and what the people that I've taught how to do this can do at different stages, that they're still working it out. I don't know if you've heard this before or not, that in many parallel versions of this earth, and many of the parallel realities, quite a few of them didn't get past 1998. They just ceased to be. And so the ones that are still around, like this one, this parallel of the earth we started out with when we were kids, this one did make it, and now they're going, oh, okay, well, now let's create some stuff that'll make this work. And that's what it is.
Fascinating. That's a great insight, because I didn't realize that some Earth versions got stuck at that time, in that timeline of 1998, and didn't make it past. The energy wasn't there.
Yeah, they just, that particular parallel, or that, you know what I mean by parallel realities? You make a major decision and, okay.
Right.
That a lot of them didn't make it past 1998, but this one did.
Yeah.
So they go, ooh, let's get creative. Let's give them some cool stuff to work with now that they're at this level.
Yeah, let's bring in some new excitement. So you have this new book, Idina, that is on Amazon. It's available in both Kindle and paperback. And it sounds like there's a lot of great content in here for anyone who's interested in energy medicine, energy healing, whether that's through their own practice or just to know intellectually. And you also have tied in the high period of Atlantis and some other layers here. So is there anything else we should know about this book? I read it and I love it, but I just wanted to let people know that there's a lot in here. And without giving too much away, what can they find in the book that would be really beneficial for right now?
Well, I talk about how this all happened, how it came to me in greater detail. Plus, I talk about, how we lost all that and why during the period of when Atlantis fell. But I also teach people in the book how to initiate a friend. And you can't really initiate yourself. You get initiations like with Reiki. But if you have a friend who will do it for you, you can initiate each other. And I give you the precise instructions for how to do that in this book. So that's one major thing you can get out of it. And also it tells you how exactly to practice basic Idina. The advanced classes offer just an incredible array of things you can do to help people. But basic Idina is a wonderful thing to know. If that's as far as you ever want to go, you can get that from the book, the complete course for free in the book, which is, I think the book is, let me see, $12.95. Again, greater detail about how this all happened. And a bunch of references in the back. If you get the Kindle version, you can just click on them. But like other books, I recommend that you read, as well as images and illustrations to help you understand, and a meditation that you can do in order to guided visual meditation. You can take people into an altered state in order to do an initiation. The juiciest thing is how to practice this form of energy medicine just from doing the book. And also, I had something and it popped right out of my head. You know how that works.
Yeah, it'll come back if it wants to.
Yeah. If it's supposed to come out of my mouth, it'll come back. Otherwise, forget about it.
One of the messages that I love about the book, and actually it can relate to all of your books, it's that you just trusted the information that came through. And I feel that that is a key thing right now, that so many people are moving through that need to just trust. Trust what you hear, trust what you see, trust the information, and know that it's coming through for a reason. Regardless of where people are on their spiritual journey, that's the same thing that we all come back to, is you just trust what you're receiving and know that it's spot on.
That's hard, given the way we were all raised in this strange culture we live in. That is
right.
Very, very important. Very important to begin to trust what you're getting. Trust your guidance. And you know, if you go in,
go ahead.
If you go to YouTube and you type my name in there, Lois Wetzel, there is and spirit guides. Right, type spirit guides after that. I've got instructions for how to get guidance from your spirit guides, and it's like about a 30-minute YouTube. So that you
That's
can
generous.
Trust yourself. Yeah. There's several different techniques, from bibliotherapy to how to use a pendulum, all that stuff.
Yeah, the trusting component is essential because it's about self-trust. It's knowing that you have all the answers within and that you're receiving information at a certain time or in a certain way because it fits you. And that's something that continually comes up in our lives. And I noticed, too, that it's something that, you know, you have used regularly throughout your spiritual journey, Lois, is that you have trusted just learning the tarot on your own, or you've trusted the teacher you're supposed to learn from, that it just showed up when you were ready for that information. And then finally you had this wonderful visit from 12th dimensional star beings who had another gift for you. I love that about how your journey has unfolded, that that's been one of the paramount themes.
Yeah, and if you can't trust your guidance and do stuff you don't really want to do, for example, I did not want to learn to row. I wanted to go to the dream interpretation class, and I met another woman with little kids who's doing classes in the daytime, and she said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take dream interpretation with you if you will take tarot with me. And I went, oh, well, okay. So I took tarot and then started practicing on friends, and they just wouldn't let me stop, you know? And if I hadn't done that, the next thing wouldn't have led to the next thing and so on. So sometimes you have to stick your neck out and be courageous, because courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yes. Yes, I love that. That's such a powerful quote, and it has so much wisdom in it, because we might expect ourselves to not have a certain feeling, but it's just about moving through the feeling.
Yeah, because I'm a real scaredy cat. I really have to push hard to get through it. But the
and
yet times
you're so
that
courageous.
Yeah, that's how I learned to be courageous, was by ignoring the fear and just doing it. And sometimes I'd just get nauseous before I would do these things, you know, just like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. But now when I'm getting guidance, I've been practicing this for so long. Now when I'm getting guidance, I might go, oh, no. But then I just go ahead and do it sooner, just, you know, so I don't have to resist. What you resist, persists.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it has messages for us. It has growth and so much gold for us if we can accept it instead of resist it.
Go ahead. I was going
to
say, usually when your guides want you to do something that you don't want to do, it's because they see a benefit down the road that you can't see because you've never done it before. That's in my experience.
Absolutely. I can relate to that strongly. And so I think about I believe it was your first book, Akashic Records, Case Studies of Past Lives, and how that started, because you've been doing Akashic Records for a while now, and it's growing in popularity, and more people are finding out about it, and the book is excellent. I read the book, and I felt a strong resonance with many stories and energies and themes, but the Akashic Records is, again, another way that we can work with our own energies to understand ourselves better and to know what we're supposed to be mastering right now. You know, what's happening in our lives right now is probably related to something in our Akashic Records.
Yeah, because when we come in each time, we plan certain lessons that we want to learn. And if we know what those are based on, and when you get a past life reading or Akashic Records reading, you get to find out what it is you're working on, balancing from a past life. And that makes it easier to balance it and then move on. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And chances are the hints and nudges and whispers about that have been coming through for a little bit, and then you just receive confirmation from somebody else that, you know, you knew this was the theme, and now it's just for certain that this is really what you're working on.
You know, that brings something to mind for me, and that is if you hear the same thing from three different sources, and the source could be a magazine article or something you saw on the internet or something a friend said or something you overhear someone at the next table in a restaurant say or something some character in a movie says, if it's three times, if you hear the same thing, it's a sign that that is a message for you from the universe.
Absolutely.
That's not a coincidence.
Right. And as we increase in consciousness, we are understanding about how everything happens in a divine, synchronistic manner, and that there are many messages of, and layers of messages within many experiences, and we just digest what we're ready for. But just as you described, the more messages you receive around a similar theme means it's coming to your attention, and there's a lot of good potentials there.
Absolutely. And a lot of people go, wow, that's funny, I just keep hearing that particular same thing over and over, but they don't realize that that's because their guides or the universe or however you want to talk about it is trying to get their attention, trying to get them to do something.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you are just joining us, we're talking with Lois Wetzel. Her website is hotpinklotus.com. Check that out. You can see all of her books, her offerings. She also has some free stuff on the website, which is very cool, and also a weekly radio here on Blog Talk Radio every Friday. So Lois has a lot to offer if you haven't already come across her. Maybe you've seen her mentioned three times, and that's why you're listening to the show right now.
Could be.
I would love to go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I noticed this issue with Blog Talk Radio. It's like there's a 2-second delay. And so apologies to all the listeners, but this happens regularly, I found. So, we talk over each other and then we go silent. with the Akashic Records that you do, compile 4 or 5 lifetimes for a person, and then a common theme emerges. And that's essentially what is in the book, is that you talk about these different themes that people have through different lifetimes and incarnations, and then the theme becomes more apparent, and it turns out that it's a theme in this lifetime, most likely. Is that an accurate? Yeah.
Absolutely. That's true. So 4 to 6 lifetimes will show up, and in maybe 2, perhaps even 3, the same theme will show up. That in the other lifetimes, it may be completely different things that show up that they need to know about. And sometimes it'll just be, it won't be just issues they need to deal with. Sometimes it's like, oh, and you used to be a dancer, and you had an incredible amount of discipline around doing your athletic stuff, and that's very significant to the person. Or they find out that they were a hero in another lifetime and that they've done something really spectacular, and they need that. They need to hear about that for their self-esteem at this point in time. So it's not just issues to work out. Sometimes it's the good stuff you've done that you need to know about. You have a right to pat yourself on the back and say, hey, I've done some important things in this world. And most people are, of course, not famous people. There are a lot more lifetimes that are had by us all that are not famous. Once in a while I'll see a famous person, but for the most part it's just lifetimes from bygone eras, and sometimes these eras are so far back no one even knows that civilization ever existed. But yeah, sometimes there are common themes, and it is a theme that you already know is an issue. You might have asked a question about it, or you might not have. It might be something that I had no way of knowing was an issue for you. And that's another kind of little freaky thing about these past life readings. The stuff comes up that resonates with the person, that's a detail about their life I could never have possibly known because I don't know them.
Right.
They didn't mention. Yeah. So, yeah, it's healing. And, oh, when you find out about something that happened in a past life, that caused a physical problem, sometimes it'll heal a physical problem you're having in this lifetime. One example is a woman who had, she'd had TMJ problems since she was, like, really young. And frequently these problems will start up at the same time you had a trauma to that body part in another lifetime. And this woman had, in a previous lifetime, she'd been kind of a rebellious troublemaker. And she lived in a community that was, it was a flotilla of boats, and they were seafarers. And the way they punished people was they would take, if they were really naughty, they would take a fish hook made out of a fish bone and hook it through the temporomandibular joint, or through the muscles just in front of that joint, the ones that open and close your jaw. And they'd hook it through one side, through the inside of your mouth, and come out the other side. And then they would drag them upside down, face up, but they would drag they would be facing upward, but their head would be near the boat and the feet away from the boat, and they'd drag them behind the boat for a while to punish them. And it made a whole lot of rebellious young men behave themselves, just the fear of that happening. Well, this had happened to her, and that the TMJ pain started at the same age in this lifetime because of that. And after I did the reading, her TMJ pain went away.
Wow.
And I hadn't even known she had TMJ pain. At least I don't think I did. Anyway, that's what caused it, and it went away.
Wow, and that's just from the remembering or something coming in to her psyche about that experience, and it healed it.
It was, yeah, just remembering, just knowing about it, healed it. And another funny thing about reading that book is a lot of people, and this surprised me, but it shouldn't have because this is how group therapy works. People said they read the book, Akashic Records, Case Studies, and they read the book and were healed by hearing other people's stories because they had a similar theme in their own lives.
Absolutely. I resonate with that. In fact, I had that experience as well, and it's actually a book that I will read a few more times because there's so much rich content in it, and the energy. It's the energy within the book that I strongly connect to, and I have the same experience, Lois. I thought I have something healed because I have the same theme or energy or whatever as this person describes. It's incredible.
And that's how group therapy works. Why shouldn't it work if you read a book about somebody's same issues? But it shocked me when several people have told me that now, and it was very surprising. But I think there's a certain energy of healing that's trapped in the book somehow. And I don't know how that works. But there's a healing energy inherent in the book.
Yeah, it's imprinted in there. And it's almost as if each person who volunteered to be a part of the book featured in a chapter also is, you know, part of a common soul group or something, and they all agreed that within their energy they would heal others through their stories.
I suspect that's true, and I had not thought of that before, but I suspect that's true. You know, I'm working on a sequel now of that book. So many people have said, I want more case studies, write more case studies. So I'm doing another one.
Yes. Yay, I'm clapping my hands.
Well, first I have to get them transcribed, and then I have to completely rewrite them. I've got somebody who transcribes for me. But then I have to completely rewrite them, because let me tell you what, the way I describe things when I'm in a trance is not the way I normally speak, for one thing. And for another thing, spoken language does not read very well, not the way we actually speak.
Right. That makes sense.
So this is hard,
sure.
This is hard work. I want everyone to appreciate my hard work.
It is hard work. Energetically, all the steps involved. I just had a thought come in here. I have read the book, but are you seeing very many future lives?
Well, once in a while, I will see a future life. And I wonder if some of these really bizarre lifetimes I see in a culture I've never seen before, I'm wondering if some of those are in the future, but I can't really tell. Because the way I identify the time period is by the costumes. But some of them I'm really, really sure they're in the past. But some of them might be in the future. But here's one of the reasons I think I don't see very many future lifetimes is because the future's still fluid and is based on the decisions we make today. Your next lifetime, what kind of lifetime you're going to have next, there may be three or four possibilities, and based on the decisions you make in this lifetime will determine which of these three or four possibilities for your next life that you will actually live.
And that puts some of our current lessons in perspective. So, for example, if you have relationships ending or changes going on, know that that is setting you up for the next phase of your soul's growth in a future lifetime, and that it's has a purpose, there's a meaning for it. And I think that's important, just to have that perspective that, like you said, Lois, everything is dynamic and it's shifting, and there's things that we're setting up for ourselves that are going to be really amazing based on these decisions we make now.
Right. Right. And
so
when people say,
go
when people say you want to live once, I go, oh, no, don't even say that in front of me.
Right, right. And then it's like, well, don't even go into multidimensionality and parallel lives and all those other dynamics.
Yeah, I mean, it's dizzying. I mean, I just get dizzy thinking about that. I can't possibly put my head around it.
Right, right. We just have a few minutes left, and we've talked about so many wonderful topics. I want to make sure people know that all of your books are available on Amazon in either Kindle or paperback format, and you do not have to have a Kindle to read the book. You can get a free Amazon Kindle app and read any of these books on your iPad, on your Android devices, on your Mac, on your computer, on your phone. That's really important to know, that you can read anything on Kindle with the app. So is there anything else that you want to leave us with here, Lois, before we sign off?
I think we just about covered it. Thank you.
Yes, we did. We covered a lot. Thank you for being here. It's a wonderful experience speaking with you, as always, and hearing your stories. And I hope that people will also check out your weekly radio show on Blog Talk and your website, hotpinklotus.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you for your time. I hope you learned a lot. And also, Lois is on Facebook if you want to check out her page and all the fun stuff she posts there, too. So thank you, Lois. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Wonderful. Great. Well, everybody have a good, good week. We'll be back live next Wednesday, and I wish you well. Namaste.